You see all these cameras, all these recording devices? There's a reason for that. We are hopefully live streaming on the radio right now, the internet radio that we have, and possibly some people could be listening to that. We have several who are out, and this is an avenue by which they could join us and participate with us. We also have this streaming on Facebook on our group page, and then these will be saved and they'll be put on YouTube. So we're going to get the message out there. I mean, our duty as Christians is to share the message. And while it's true that most people don't care to receive the message, there's some people out there who could benefit from learning these things. So that's why we do it. Today's lesson, and hopefully my voice will not give out before I'm finished, but anyway, the lesson is called Love One Another. And we are commanded to love one another in the Bible. I mean, numerous times we're commanded to love one another, but the question we have, do we really do what God commands us to do? And this is where we need to examine ourselves to see if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Because we can read all day long, love your neighbor, love this person, love that person, and then just turn right around and just spew out vitriolic language or hatred or anything like that. Just because we don't like them. And why we don't like them is because they don't like us. I mean, we kind of do that reciprocal effect there. But do we really do what God commands us to do? We're supposed to love one another. So a word or phrase that will search, a phrase search will reveal in the New King James Version, the phrase one another is found 81 times in about 79 verses. And so that's what is there. And the phrase love one another specifically is found 13 times in 12 verses. Now, if you go to the King James, it's 14 times. And so there's different words that the translators use in different versions. And there are several more one another passages that include the word love. And some of these suggest the condition we are to be in when something for one another, when we're doing something for one another. What should we be doing for them? We should be doing it out of love. Love is the foundation of the law. You know, that's what Jesus said there in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. He talked about the fact that the most important command of all is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And the second greatest commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. Then he goes on to say in verse 40, upon these two rest the whole law. Upon these two rests everything we should be involved in. Even Paul said, everything is wrapped up in the phrase, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so we need to demonstrate love for others. You know, an example would be, I mean, think about this. The passage Romans 12:10 says, be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love. In honor, give preference to one another in love. And so even though the specific phrase love one another is not mentioned, you see what it is here. We are supposed to be kindly affectionate towards one another. And we're talking about our brethren. And that's what we're supposed to be doing for each other. We should be demonstrating a love to each member. And I know we demonstrate a lot of love. We get in there, we get together, we have hugging, and we shake hands, and we talk to each other. And there is a type of love that is expressed among us all. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Now, we can see that many times the phrase one another is in reference to our fellow members of the church. Well, that's who the writers of the New Testament are writing to. And he says, you got to take care of one another. You got to love one another. You got to care for one another. You got to pray for one another. And yes, most of those are specifically mentioning our relationship with each other as members of our local congregation. In Romans 12:5, we read, "So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." And so, I mean, this is the way it was described, as Paul described it. But how often do we think, well, I'm my own person, and I don't have to deal with anybody else. I don't want to deal with anybody else. And we might feel that way. And we fail to remember that we're just as much a part of each other as any other member is. And so we are members of one another. The one another phrase is not only in regards to our fellow members, it also is in regards to the church in the local sense. I mean, it's in regard to church of brethren everywhere. Those who are faithfully following the Lord, members of the Church of Christ in other places. I mean, we are to honor them, treat them as if they were locally our fellow members. And we should be doing that. And so, that's really not to say that members of the church of other locations are not relevant to this discussion. And they really are. Because our duty is to love each other, and we're supposed to love and care for each other. But if we go to Galatians chapter 6, in verse 10, it talks about be good to others, especially those of the household of faith. Our brethren in other places, we have to give them the same diligence and honor and serving and caring and loving that we do our own members. So that's what we need to do. But our focus is upon the members of the local church of which we are a member. And there's reasons for this. And we're going to notice that. See, this is where we make the best impact in our community. This is how we're going to demonstrate the love that we have, the love of God, to people in our community. See, we have neighbors who might know that we go to church on a regular basis. But until they see something in us or you that keeps you rejoicing in your hope and love that your brethren give you, they may not be interested. You know, they see you come in. Oh, the preacher preached too long. Or I didn't like those songs that the song leader led. Or Sister So-and-so was wearing the wrong color hat or something. I mean, when your neighbors hear that, do I really want to go there? No, they're not going to want to do that. We had a great time at church today. We worshiped God. We sang together. The singing was awesome. And we prayed for each other. And I just feel good about what it is. People gave me encouragement. And I gave other people encouragement. Now, doesn't that sound appealing, guys? It should sound appealing. And so that's what we should do. And when people pay attention to you and do kind things for you, it makes you feel good. I mean, especially if our brethren are doing this for us, helping out our brethren. And even though we may do that quite often, we don't need to go around tooting our horn saying, "Hey, look what I did." No, we just do it. I mean, we want to be blessing to others. But we don't have to sound the alarm, say, "Hey, I did this for somebody. I did that for somebody." We don't really need to be doing that either. And so this kind of feeling of love and caring and happiness and joy, this is what people are yearning for. That's what's wrong in our world today. They don't have peace. They don't have peace in their lives. They don't have happiness in their lives. They go through the same routine day after day. It doesn't seem like they're getting anywhere. And so they're yearning for this type of joy to be expressed. And we can show that to our neighbors. And perhaps they will become interested in becoming a member of the church. Or if nothing more, they will just might be interested in checking us out. And what are they really doing down there? You know, sometimes we have questions about people walking around smiling. Man, what are they smiling for? I mean, we worried about that. Oh, I mean, is that a devious smile, or is this a happy smile, or what kind of smile is that? And wonder what they got going on. And so people would like to know that if we are treated very nice by our brethren, perhaps maybe they would be treated very nice by the same people. And they're looking for something like that. A lot of people are looking for something like that. Some of them don't even know it. But really, honestly, this is the best advertisement for the local church. Our members letting their neighbors know it's a great opportunity to come and worship God and to spend time with some of the greatest people on earth. That is the best advertising for the local church that we can have. Yeah, we can put ads in the local paper. We can have radio programs. We can have YouTube channel programs and stuff like that. But really, to be effective, we've got to get out there and show our neighbors what we're all about the love and the kindness and all that which God wants us to be. And this will be beneficial to not only our neighbors, but our whole community, if they would just do that. See, when Jesus was instructing his disciples in building and maintaining a good relationship, it was to be based on love. And that's what it should be done on, based on love. We're talking about the agape love that we read about. There's different kinds of love mentioned in the scriptures, and there's different Greek words used for this. But we're talking about the agape type of love. Now, this is the type of love. It's not a familial love. It's not a love between brothers and sisters. But this is one where we have a genuine concern for someone else, and we want to help them to get in a better situation. I mean, the idea of compassion is along the same line here. Compassion is seeing, having a concern about someone's condition and doing, wanting to do something to change that condition. That's fueled by this agape type of love. Giving the best for someone. I mean, when you want to give someone the best, what should you give them? You give them the message of God. There's nothing better than that. So give them the message of God. Show them what God is all about. Show them what the church is all about in trying to help people come to an understanding of what life is all about. There's no greater gift that you can give someone. There's no greater service you can do for someone than to introduce them to Jesus. So one can take many words that are the characteristics of love and apply them to these passages. And yes, there's many of them. There's just a few words to consider, like care for someone, honor someone, provide for someone, encourage someone, help someone, trust someone, and the list can go on and on. There are just so many words that are descriptive of the Christian's love for their fellow man. Yes, sometimes even chastising is included there. Sometimes pointing out God doesn't like that, he doesn't appreciate that, and yeah, what's going to happen when we tell someone that? They're probably going to chew us out, or they might even pound on us. But that's our job. We need to let people know that if we're right with God, then we have a hope of eternal life. If we're not right with God, we have no chance. So that's what it's going to be. So our point is that if we are members of one another, should we not show that to the world? I mean, it's one thing in these four walls to demonstrate love to each other. And we probably feel pretty good because we do a pretty good job of that. But can you translate our love in here? Can you take it outside with you? Can you take it to your workplace with you? Can you take it to your community where you live, in your neighborhood? Can you carry it with you when you go to the grocery store or any things like that? We have to take the love that is in here out there. That's what we need to do. See, one thing that many in this world lack is a loving relationship. I mean, our world is messed up, and it's been messed up for a long time, and we know that. I mean, there's many homes where they don't have what they used to call a nuclear family. Father, mother, and the children. They don't have that anymore. I mean, there are so many, millions of kids that have a single-parent home. And they don't have the guidance, they don't have the instruction and discipline they need. I mean, a lot of our children these days aren't even taught the basics of respect your fellow person. I mean, they're just not taught respect, so they're very disrespectful. They go to school, they're disrespectful. They get to dealing with the law enforcement, they're disrespectful. And then they wonder why they end up in handcuffs. A loving relationship is something that some people are longing for because they've never seen it, but they've heard about it. And when they do see it, it's something that, wow, I mean, this is pretty neat when they do see it. And I wish I could have that. Well, folks, a loving relationship is possible for everybody if they will focus on the right thing. Putting God first in their life will be the first step. But we sometimes see on the news where a person did not show love in their relationship. Yeah, I mean, this is really sad. We hear about it. A lot of times we don't hear about all the things that are going on. I mean, for many years, abuse was kind of just shoved under the carpet. I mean, we don't want to talk about that. We don't want the world to know about things that are going on. There are literally millions of people now who are basically, in the past few years, have come out. You know what? I was abused as a child. I was abused, and it affected me. And we read about that. But back then, we don't want to talk about that. And so it's within a culture. There are several cultures that basically, well, it's kind of expected. I mean, it's sad that it's that way, but it's like that. And then there's some, well, the mother and father, they go to church and drag the kids to church with them, but when they get home, they abuse their kids. I mean, that happens also. And it shouldn't be that way. See, the abuse. And then, of course, the hatred. I hate so-and-so. Well, why do you hate them? Well, they're a different skin color. Now, that's just dumb. I mean, it shouldn't be that way. But people develop hatred. They develop hatred. You know, the old geezers, they sit down or look at them young whippersnappers, and they just want, oh, man, I hate them young kids. They're just making life all messy for me. I mean, they do things like that. I mean, there's hatred. I mean, separation, division of class, whatever, rich, poor, black, white, brown, yellow, whatever. There's no room for that. Despising someone, why? Well, they said something back to me back in 1973 that I never forgave them for. You know, when you allow that to happen, when you can't let go of something like that, they are actually controlling your life. There's no way of saying it. And then jealousy. Well, he got a new car. Why can't I have a new car? You know, that's a big problem for a lot of people. They just have to go into debt because, hey, they bought a new car. I need a new car. They bought a boat. I need a boat. Or whatever. I mean, jealousy of what someone has. And there's many other things that contribute to horrible conditions for millions upon millions. And that's not only in this country, but around the world. I mean, it's that way. And most of us would prefer that such not be revealed to us. We don't want to know about it. I mean, we want our things, and we don't care how we get them. It doesn't matter if in other countries they are using children as slave labor to make it possible for us to get our things that we want. And we just kind of blind eye, we don't look about it, like the blood diamonds and things like that, or the servitude of digging up the lithium they need for our car batteries and things like that. I mean, we really don't care where it comes from. As long as it comes from Walmart, we don't care where it came from before that. And You've heard of sweatshops. I mean, they force people into literally slavery to do this stuff so they can make more profits. But we don't want to know about that. We don't want to pay attention to that because we like our things. See, sadly, it takes place all around us, and yet we prefer to keep our head in the sand and not face the problem. We don't want to have to deal with that. See, our love for one another is sometimes driven by reciprocal reasons. Now, what that word means is, you love me, I'll love you. I mean, that's only fair. I mean, you be nice to me, I'll be nice to you. You say something bad to me, I'll just return it and say something bad to you. And this is how we usually work in our communication and dealing with others. Well, what they do to me, I'm going to do to them. I mean, that's what we feel. But, you know, Jesus said it differently. What you would want someone to do to you, do unto them. I mean, Jesus kind of turned that around because their culture basically says an eye for an eye. If they offend you some way, you offend them in some way. That was their culture. And that's why Jesus, when the Sermon on the Mount, he was teaching things differently than what they were accustomed to. You know, he said, you've heard it said, do this. But I say unto you. I mean, this is what Jesus did. And so for what God wants is for us to love others, even though they do not show us love. I mean, this is the hard part, folks. This is the really hard part of what God wants us to do. Show our love to others, even though they don't show love to us. Yeah, I mean, it's easy to hate somebody if they show hatred towards you. Oh, that's so easy. So, when Jesus told us to love our enemies no matter what they do to you. I mean, Matthew 5:44. You've heard it said. Love your friends and hate your enemies. No, I say unto you, you love your enemies. And you pray for your enemies. And pray for those who despitefully use you. I mean, that covers a lot of people. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's what God wants us to do. And so, sure, this sounds good and all, but do we practice it? Now, that's where we have to look and examine ourselves. Do we actually do what God has asked us to do? Do we actually demonstrate love to others even though they're mean to us? Do we show love towards our enemies? I mean, that's something we got to consider. Why should we if those others are not going to respond in kind? See, here's our logic popping in here. Our mind says, well, I can be nice to them. They're just going to continue being mean to me. So why should I be nice to them? I mean, that's the logical thinking. And pretty much, that's the logic of our society at large. That's what they do. Well, they're not going to be nice to me. Why should I be nice to them? I mean, that's what we're having to deal with. And that's the wrong attitude for us to have. So, please take the time and read through your Bible and see just how many times our phrase is used of one another. And we've got that. It's in that blue book that I wrote. It's all in there. Every verse that's listed there. And see how many times that phrase is used and try to put these things into practice in our church relationships. I mean, there's a lot of these things. Like I said, love one another, care for one another, pray for one another. I mean, there's a lot of these one another passages that we should be doing. And why do we do all that? Because we love each other. See, when we show love, we make it possible for outsiders to see the love, devotion, care, and concern that the church has for its own members. Mm-hmm. That's right. I mean, so we do that. We are a demonstration. And that's what we're supposed to be, right? We're supposed to be an example. We're to be imitators of Christ as Paul was an imitator of Christ. We should be showing the love of Jesus to others when we walk out those doors. It's easy in here, right? Because we're all pretty much on the same page. It's easy to talk about love one another inside these four walls. The challenge is walking out that door and demonstrating love to others. That's the challenge. Such things are sorely lacking in many lives, and these things are needed by everyone, whether they realize it or not. So, the question is, do you love your brethren so much that it shows in your entire life, by everything you do? I mean, and that can be demonstrated. Yeah, sometimes by visiting them, sometimes by making phone calls. I know there's a lot of you who just make phone calls all the time, checking on each other. And that's to be commended. And that should be encouraged to continue doing those things. And it should show in everything that you do. Your whole life should be concerned about each other. And do others see love coming from you? And in this case, the others are, do outsiders see love coming from you? I mean, this is a challenge that God told us to do. God commanded that you love one another, and that includes everybody. But do they see it? Do they perceive it? I know there's a bunch of soreheads out there. There's a lot of vicious people out there. Doesn't matter how nice you're trying to be, they're going to interpret that in their mind as something hateful. I mean, like we're told to speak the truth in love, they're going to consider that as hate speech. And so, yeah, we're going to have to deal with people like that. But anyway, think about these things. Loving each other is so very important. So consider these thoughts, and Lord willing, you'll take these thoughts and contemplate them, think about them, and then hopefully you'll decide, I'm going to start doing some of these things, which maybe I haven't been doing before. Well, folks, all I can say is God wants you to do these things. We always offer the invitation. Whether you're watching on the internet, whether you're in person here, there's an invitation that God offers to all mankind, because God wants everyone to be saved. And in order to be saved, we know we have to believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he died on the cross for our sins. And then recognizing that we have done things that we shouldn't have been doing, this is what God wants us to do. So, we need to repent of our sins, confess his name, and be baptized for the remission of our sins, and then learn to be faithful the rest of our lives. So, if you're subject to the invitation, we're going to invite you to come while together we stand and sing.
Have you been to Jesus for